Come and pick up your order in store in just 30 minutes.
Looking good, Mr. King of the Hill. Mr. DXL Shopperman. Mr. Sharp Dressing. Confidence oozing. Style swaggering fashion stud. Looking good. All the brands you love, waist size 38 and up. DXL, you're looking good. Find the biggest selection of polos and tees from Psycho Bunny, Lucky Brand, Tommy Bahama, and more.
It's 5:04. You're listening to KGYM on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa, online at kgymradio.com. Todd Brommelkamp alongside Alex Kuhn. Jeff Downing serving as our producer this evening on the other side of the glass. And Alex, it got real during the top of the hour break because people in the building realized that tomorrow is my birthday.
I actually just realized that as well. Yep. I'm not going to lie to you because I know that I'll get the email tomorrow and Facebook will alert me. But if without Facebook, like you said, and without our
where
Loretta,
would we be?
I would not know anyone's birthday.
Where would we be without Facebook and or our director of first impressions to let everybody in the building know, hey, pretend like you care that it's somebody's birthday. And so now tomorrow I'll get the emails. Oh, happy birthday, happy birthday. You didn't know until somebody told you it was my birthday. And I'm fine with that because guess what? It's not a big deal. Although at my current body mass index and with the way things are going, each one of them is becoming a bigger and bigger deal as I get older. Because it means I made it another year. Let's head to the phones, 319-366-1600. Bring our first guest of the afternoon on. Tom Kakert, going to talk a little Hawkeye sports with us as we gear up for Friday at Kinnick Stadium. Tom, I know, is very busy this time of year with his son getting ready for baseball season. Jack got a fresh haircut, it looks like. He's looking good, Tom.
Yeah, we're already two tournaments in with baseball, so it's a little busy. Baseball, playing some AAU basketball. It's a busy time of year, and spring football will come to a close this weekend.
We were talking, Alex and I were sort of previewing this week either areas of strength or areas of, I don't want to say weakness, but areas of concern, question marks, however you want to label it, going into the fall. Today we talked about offensive line and defensive line, and I'll just ask you what you think the biggest strength is, area of strength for this team this spring is.
Probably linebacker, just with three starters back, a lot of depth, a lot of talent. I think that's probably the strongest position for Iowa this year right now. And then I'd probably follow up with offensive line, just a lot of experience, depth, and talent there. I think you could say every other position's got their fair share of question marks.
On the other side of the coin, what is the biggest storyline other than quarterback that you're kind of following? Because due to the fact there are so many question marks at that certain position.
There are two that I think are interesting for fans. Obviously, everybody's going to focus on quarterback because that's the glamour position, most important position on the football field. Wide receiver is obviously going to be something to watch on Friday night. But having said that, it's just so, there are so many pieces that are missing that are probably going to be part of the story of the wide receivers for Iowa this season. With Matt Vandenberg out, we don't know what's going to happen with Germanique Smith. And then you've got the freshmen coming in, you expect some of those guys to contribute, and none of those guys are here right now. So I don't think you get a complete picture, but the other story was a story that maybe we didn't think was going to be there, and that's with Brandon Snyder being out with an ACL tear. Jake Gervais, Amani Hooker, those two guys seem to be the likely candidates at the safety position where Snyder was, and now you've got a big question mark back there. You're going from a guy that was started the whole year and really came on. I thought the second half of the year showed a lot of growth and development. So now you're going to be green there again going into the 2017 season.
Gervais is a Quad City guy. We haven't seen a whole lot of him on the field, but being from your neck of the woods, do you know much about him, Tom?
Yeah, I do. And he played quite a bit on special teams last year, but you might not have noticed him a whole lot. He was just kind of one of the guys on kickoff return and did some punt return work. He's kind of I think Kirk actually talked about him at one point and kind of, made mention of kind of a Brett Greenwood potential story where just a kid who was played both ways, just like Brett did at PV, played offense and played the safety and really good athlete, did a little bit of everything in high school. One of the top players in the MAC. So, how he's going to get out there, we'll see. But talking to some people who've worked with him at the high school level, they think he's going to be ready to go and that he has the right makeup to be a solid safety for Iowa this season.
All right, burying the lead here a little bit, but I don't want to say quarterback controversy, but how surprised are you that things appear to be 50-50 neck and neck here with the quarterback race?
Pretty surprised, actually, because I think everybody just kind of did the math, so to speak, last fall. And when Nathan Stanley jumped Tyler Wiegers, you thought, well, that's pretty much decided for next year, isn't it? And Stanley was going to be the guy, and that's what they were going to go with. But you don't know how Brian Ferentz viewed Nathan Stanley. Don't know how he viewed Tyler Wiegers. And then you've got that fresh set of eyes of the quarterback coach in Ken O'Keefe. And maybe what they're doing this spring is giving both those guys the opportunity, giving a fresh start, fresh competition. And instead of making your decision based on what you saw last year, we're going to make the decision based on this year. And it's turned out to be pretty equal. Of course, there's the conspiracy theorist in me that said, maybe they're just doing this to keep Stanley from leaving, or keep Wiegers from leaving at the end of the year, this academic year. But, I don't know that that would be possible. But I know it's in the back of some fans' minds that maybe that's in play here, too.
Yeah, you kind of lead me to that question. Which do you think is more likely? Is it that Wiegers has kind of gained ground and made this a competition, or maybe they're trying to give both of them a clean slate with the new offense being implemented?
I think both of them, based on what we saw, again, we've seen 20 minutes of one practice and one full practice in Des Moines. And based on what we've seen, it seems pretty equal. And it seems like both guys are kind of having their good moments and then having their not so good moments. So I think, we have to remember too, this is a different offense, different kind of numbering, different system, different way you talk about it. So they're both picking this up as they go. And I think that's probably what you would expect, is to both guys to have some good moments and bad moments. I do know this. I don't think Kirk wants to relive the 2008 season again, where he was dancing around with two different quarterbacks going back and forth between Stanzi and Christensen. He doesn't want to live that. So they'll either make a decision at the end of spring, or they're going to make a decision early in fall camp and make a firm choice of who the quarterback's going to be.
Speaking of the new offense, we've been down in Iowa City every week to hear the different coordinators and the different assistant coaches talk about the new offense, and it seems like each coach has a different assessment of how similar or different this new offense is. Adding the sum of all of the statements that you've heard early in this spring, do you have a conclusion?
I don't. It almost seems like they're going out of their way to make it seem like it's not that different. And it's not kind of an outside-the-box thinking. But in talking to the defensive players who faced the offense, they said it's different. There's different looks. There's different feel to it. It has the attack feels different to them. And I'll take what they're saying over, kind of what the coaches are kind of trying to sell us at this point.
Tom Kakerd from HawkeyeReport.com here joining us on the program. Fill in the blank here. I would be surprised on Friday if blank happened.
Boy, that's a good one. If I would be surprised if the offense looks good. it just never looks good in the spring. And if it comes out and they have a huge offensive explosion, I would be very surprised. I just don't think the offense is there yet. Unless they made some drastic ground up in 2 weeks, I just don't see this being a practice where we walk out of there and go, wow, this offense, holy cow, Brian Ferentz got it going on. I just don't think they're there yet.
That might actually be a good sign, though, right? Because most years when Iowa doesn't look good, especially offensively, then they tend to play well when the games actually count. So maybe that's looking into the crystal ball there. Rosie the fortune teller, however you want to put it. When's Rosie going to make an appearance at an Iowa spring game? That's what I want to know.
That and Red Panda. We need Rosie and Red Panda at an Iowa spring game.
Well, what are your expectations on Friday? Because there have been some hints. Kirk talked about this a couple weeks ago at the open practice at West Des Moines, that the Greg Davis scoring system is out and that it may be a little bit more of an actual spring game than more of an open practice. So what do you think we're going to get to see Friday at 7 o'clock?
You know, I went on my DirecTV thing because I was going to tape it, and it says Iowa spring game, and that caught my eye because I was like, well, okay, they're advertising it as a spring game, and they're going to put it on the Big Ten Network. I don't think they want to put a practice on there. I think they're going to do something more along the lines of a spring game, and I don't think it'll be a full-out, here's your team, here's my team, let's go, but I think they're going to maybe juice it up a little bit and have a little bit more of a game feel to it instead of a controlled scrimmage that we've seen in the past with that goofy scoring system that Greg Davis kind of dropped it. I still can't remember what it is. I'm still lost with it.
Well, the idea of Greg Davis and explosive plays in the same sentence was always a little bit of an oxymoron to me, but who put your thinking cap on here. Who's going to win this year's Don Nordman Spring Player of the Year Award, where people are going to prescribe some sort of great success or great future to a third or fourth string player, a walk-on that's going to have a moment where he looks really good? Give me a name.
You remember the other one I always go back to is that, you remember Tyler Gerstead, the tight end? That was another one. Yes and no.
If that tells you anything.
Big spring game where he had a couple catches. Boy, you know.
Andrew Stone.
You know what I really want to say? I want to say Sam Cook, the running back, just because I want to say Sam Cook, of course, you know. And then they'll maybe blast some Sam Cook music over the music system at Kinnick.
Tom, you have a finger on the pulse of the fans at HawkeyeReport.com and the message boards. How are the message boards kind of handling the uncertainty that we have based on the fact that we've only seen this team in scrimmage once and 20 minutes in practice? Is there a lot more speculation, or are people taking more of a wait-and-see type approach?
I think wait-and-see right now. I think they're just anxious to see if they're going to actually see kind of a game. I think everybody wants to see some sort of game on Friday night at Kinnick more than anything else. And I think they're curious about, you know, what the offense is really going to look like, because it's hard to tell in those practice settings, and what, you know, kind of what this quarterback battle is really, where does it sit as we end up spring practice? Is somebody going to emerge, or has somebody emerged? Is it Stanley? Is it Uyghurs? I think we've had a clear kind of delineation between those two and everybody else. And by the way, there was a kind of some rumblings this past week that Drew Cook might be catching some passes now instead of throwing them. So that's another thing to look at on Friday night is Drew Cook still going to be a quarterback?
All right, Tom, go ahead and give us an indication at least of what you know as far as some visitors who may be checking things out on Friday, because spring games are always a good opportunity for kids to come in and check out a program. A lot of the younger underclassmen tend to come to. Any big names on the radar this Friday?
Yeah, we haven't gotten a full list of guys that are coming in. They had a bunch of guys in this past weekend, one of them including Will Putman, who is one of the top offensive lineman in the 2019 class, and that's what we're already at as the 2019 group. There's a kid who's on campus today right now, Tyrone Tracy, who's a wide receiver out of the Indianapolis area, that, keep an eye on him. He may be the next guy to commit. Also some rumblings about Daniel Parker Jr., a defensive lineman from Blue Springs, Missouri, same area that Liddell Betts came from. And, some rumors that maybe he's leaning a little bit more towards Iowa. What you'll also see is a lot of the commits are coming in, kids that are going to be on campus this year, Peyton Manziel, guys like that are going to all be in town this weekend. And, obviously Dylan Doyle will be there. I think Mike Bruner is going to be back. Jeff Jenkins, the kids who are already committed. This big weekend, and I think moving forward with the recruiting rules that are going to be changing starting with the 2019 group, I think you're going to see spring games take on a huge recruiting component because you can start bringing those kids in from that class on official visits during the month of April, and you don't have to wait until August when school starts.
We talked a little bit about this on Friday when Alex was gone, but what are your take on the NCAA changes that are being talked about or that are going to be taking place? Because I have a feeling most of them are being welcomed with open arms inside the Iowa football complex.
Yeah, that was my feeling too, was just that I think these are going to be helpful to Iowa. I would have, if I had my way, and I think Kirk's probably on board with this, is that you would have instead of waiting until December to have an early signing period, you would do it in kind of, maybe the third week of August, something like that, where kids can make their decision before they start their senior year, before they play the first game of their senior year. That way, if they're settled, they want to sign, they can. And then if they don't, they can wait until February. But otherwise, I like the rules, the way they're going to do things, open up more official visits in the spring. I think those are good ideas. I think, the 10th assistant's going to pass, and that's a good thing. Overall, I just thought everything was really pretty positive for Iowa, and I think they'll be able to gain some traction off of this recruiting-wise.
Tom, when the news broke last week, we got a lot of reaction here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn about Middle Tennessee State being added to the 2019 non-conference schedule. What was your reaction to that news?
Not surprised. I just kind of figured that's based on what that spot looked like on the schedule. It wasn't going to be one of those made-for-TV games because those are the first weekend games, and Iowa already had a scheduled game then. And you knew it wasn't going to be a big powerhouse. They're just not going to do that because that's how they got to have seven home games, and you're not going to do a home and home. And these other schools like Middle Tennessee are glad to take that $1.5 million off your hands, come up and play in a football game, maybe beat you. So that's the reality of the world we live in today when you're a slave to seven home games and your conference has decided that they need to have nine conference games every year. It took away one of those non-conference Power 5 games that Iowa could have played.
Real quick here before we let you go, Tom, Gene Taylor introduced today in Manhattan as the new athletic director at Kansas State. I thought he did a tremendous job the three-plus years that he was on the job as sort of Gary Barta's right-hand man. What does this do for the Iowa Athletic Department right now? They've got a big hole to fill.
It is. And, you mentioned Gene's only been there 3 years, and it feels like longer because of maybe the impact that he's had and just the interactions I've had with Gene over the past 3 years since he arrived. It's all been very positive. He is a true pro. Respected by everybody in the athletic department. Being around the Iowa athletic department, Todd, and you know this very well, if you're not well-liked, you hear that. And I've never heard anybody say anything negative about Gene at all. Everybody loved him. I know Kirk loved him. Kirk even issued a on his press release at K-State, a very warm, praiseful statement from Kirk. And that tells you how much Kirk thought of Gene, and all the coaches at Iowa that I've talked to just love the guy. So that's a big hole to fill. I wonder if they'll look at maybe Mark Hankins, the former golf coach who's now in the athletic administrative side. I think Mark's a sharp guy, and he knows how to do things and gets things done, and would be a friend to coaches and a good fit for that position. But he's only been in the administrative side for a couple of years, so. But I think maybe if you're looking for somebody to promote from within, he's the obvious choice in my eyes.
Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com. Let everybody know we're doing the show at the Coach's Corner on Friday. They can come in and get lubricated before they head to Kinnick Stadium. We appreciate it, as always. Tom joining us not weekly, but we have Tom here on the program quite often.
We do, and I have an answer to your weather questions.
You do. You've done some research here.
Investigation Coon. Investigation. Why do I always get that wrong?
I don't know. It would be your segment, so you might want to start getting that right.
The National Weather Service says it's supposed to be 61 degrees and sunny on Friday.
Ooh.
So, nice fall weather.
61 degrees and sunny in Iowa City. Yeah. There we go. 319-366-1600, 25 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock. Dan Hayes from CSN Chicago joins us in about 5 minutes to talk a little White Sox baseball. Until then, we'll step aside. We've got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update and more on the way after this.
Back in the 1940s, if you told Willa Dickens that his future customers at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers could customize their engagement rings on something called his website, he would have likely said, "You were full of horse feathers." But, as they say, times change. Now you can visit HertineandStockerJewelers.com to see their exclusive designs from Gabriel & Company, along with beautiful creations from Luminar and Mercury. Customize your ring by selecting the precious metal, mounting, diamond size, and price right there. It's the perfect marriage of contemporary technology and classic service. And if you'd rather do things old school, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning the power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
What kind of job would make you happier? One that pays more? One that makes you feel appreciated? One that offers the kind of benefits that world-class companies can offer? Red Star Yeast in Cedar Rapids has all that and a lot more, like company picnics and nights out at the ballpark. You get the benefits of a big company with a family feel at Red Star Yeast. What that means is you're appreciated and you're heard. Red Star Yeast is looking for production operators. All you need is a high school diploma and great work ethic. To learn more about joining the Red Star Yeast family in Cedar Rapids, visit the careers page at redstaryeast.com.
Back with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Jeff Downing here in the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Head towards 7 o'clock tonight. ESPN programming on the way for you if you are listening to the South Gym or the Main Gym. And if you are tuning in on 107.5 FM tonight, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, you know it's your home for Minnesota Twins baseball all summer long. And we've got the Twins and the Indians coming up for you tonight. That begins at 7 o'clock. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Former Iowa Deputy Athletic Director Gene Taylor was officially introduced as the new athletic director at Kansas State this morning. Taylor called KSU a great institution with a proud athletic tradition. He also said he's interested in getting to know another former Hawkeye employee. That'd be head football coach Bill Snyder. Former Iowa baseball player Matt Dermody is back in the big leagues with the Toronto Blue Jays. The left-hander was recalled from AAA Buffalo on Sunday when the Jays placed starter Aaron Sanchez on the 10-day disabled list. A little bit of a rough outing for Dermody in his first appearance of 2017. He gave up 5 runs in 1/3 of an inning in Toronto's 11-4 loss to Baltimore. The Iowa baseball team took 2 of 3 from Nebraska during its weekend series in Lincoln, but the Huskers prevented the sweep yesterday with an 8-6 win. The Hawkeyes took the lead with 2 runs in the bottom of the 8th, but Nebraska answered with 3 in the bottom half then turned things over to Luis Alvarado, who closed the door in the ninth. Iowa will travel to Peoria on Wednesday, where they'll face Bradley. The Colonels also in Peoria as of tonight. First pitch at Dozier Park against the St. Louis Cardinals affiliate set for 6:30. The Midwest League was off on Easter Sunday, so this will be the team's first action since Saturday's rain-shortened 6-0 loss to Wisconsin. And I guess that's as good of a time as any to say that yesterday I get a text from my wife while I'm out of town. I took my son to visit some relatives over in Scott in Clinton County, stopped by her parents' house. They had an Easter basket for Thomas, and then I took him to my grandma's house where we got together, sort of an impromptu Easter gathering. I get a text from my wife that says, "Hey, Tommy might come over for dinner tonight." Tommy Watkins, the manager of the Colonels. And I'm thinking, okay, we've got enough food in the refrigerator. Fine by me.
Please tell me he showed up.
And then,
please tell me he
then
showed
she
up.
Says, hey, he might be bringing J.P. Martinez, who's the pitching coach, too. And I was like, okay, now three's company, four is a crowd, but I think we've got enough food to handle this. And if I needed to run to the store, I could probably do that because I know that at least a couple of them were open on Easter Sunday. He no-showed.
Both of them?
Yeah. Well, he invited himself over, and then no response, no communication from him whatsoever. He no-shows us. So we've got all this food in the refrigerator. Ask me what Easter dinner was last night.
What was Easter dinner
last night?
Which,
by the way, I was fine with this. I just grilled up some hot dogs. I said, I'm not going to all of this trouble if it's just you and me. And my wife, who is completely cool with the idea, she's like, yeah, throw some hot dogs on.
Did you get the good hot dogs? The
Nathan's.
Kosher dogs?
Oh, Nathan's. Okay. Oh, yeah. All beef, Nathan's, the good stuff. Look it. I know we haven't worked together very long, but when it comes to me and hot dogs, I am very serious about my tubed meats. I take that life and death serious. Dan Hayes from CSN Chicago, they got good dogs at Guaranteed Rate Field. I'm still getting used to saying that. He was supposed to join us last week. He's coming up with us next. A little baseball talk on the way. Don't go anywhere.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and at my age of 14, I just don't want to be tied down with any long-term commitments. If the computers at your business break, call Network Computer Solutions, and they'll fix the problem quickly and just charge you for the work they do. No contracts are needed that tie you down. You've got plenty of time to worry about commitments later. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
.com. Code 0101.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Cavaliers held on to win Game 1. They're hosting Game 2 against the Pacers tonight. Coverage already underway on ESPN Radio. The only other NBA playoff game tonight, the Spurs hosting Game 2 against the Grizzlies. San Antonio got a blowout win in Game 1. Kansas freshman swingman Josh Jackson will enter the NBA draft. Jackson was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year. He averaged 16 points and 7 rebounds a game, helping the Jayhawks reach the Elite Eight. The Buccaneers pick up the fifth-year option on wideout Mike Evans. He now has 2 years left on his contract. He's been over 1,000 receiving yards in each of his first 3 seasons, only the 4th NFL player to do it. Baseball today in Boston. The Red Sox beat the Rays 4-3. Andrew Benintendi drives in 2 runs. Kenyans Joffrey Kirui and Edna Kiplagat win today's 121st Boston Marathon. In the men's race, American Galen Rupp finished second. Manuela Schaar and Marcel Hoog, both from Switzerland, win the wheelchair races.
This year's tax deadline is April 18th, which means time is running out. But H&R Block offices are open early and late to get you every credit and deduction you deserve. Make an appointment, walk in, or just drop off your paperwork today.
America, it's time for some straight talk. Lobster is really just a fancy way to eat butter. Nobody wants to read the poetry you wrote in college, and guess what? That low-priced unlimited plan those big wireless carriers want to sell you? It's crawling with mystery fees, overages, and other nasty surprises. So it turns out those plans aren't so low-priced after all. But look, there's a better way. Straight Talk gives you unlimited talk, text, and data with the first 5 gigs up to 4G LTE starting at just $45. That's half the cost with no contract. Plus, you don't have to worry about getting blindsided by mystery fees and overages. All on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. Come on, it's time to stop being fooled. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Writing job descriptions, sifting through resumes, setting up interviews. Hiring's hard, but Indeed.com makes it easier. Post your job, manage candidates, schedule interviews, all on Indeed. And since independent research shows that Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, easy works. Right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Dugatz here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red Solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crushed ice. It's so simple. There's absolutely nothing better. Whether you're making stories or telling them, it's how friends share a drink. Read about our story and get some great recipes at CanadianMist.com. Canadian Mist whiskey. Simply together, drink responsibly. Canadian Mist blended Canadian whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Brown Foreman, Louisville, Kentucky.
It's 5:35 on a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Jeff Downing, our associate producer on the other side of the glass, with us until 7 o'clock tonight. ESPN programming on the way at the top of hour number 3, except if you're listening to us on 107.5 FM, you're going to get the Minnesota Twins and an AL Central showdown with the Cleveland Indians this evening. The Indians, 5-7, actually residing in the basement of the AL Central right now. Hard to believe. And there's a Chicago team that's above 500, and it's not the Cubs. Also, a little hard to believe. The White Sox, 6-5. And joining us now to talk a little White Sox baseball, we don't want to slight the South Side here. We get accused, because I'm a Cubs fan, of North Side bias all the time on the program. Dan Hayes from CSN Chicago. Dan, we were supposed to have you on last week and then had a little bit of a conflict, so we appreciate you willing to accommodate us and join us today. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on, guys.
And the better question is, how are the White Sox doing here through 11 games under Rick Renteria's watch? Because this start here, especially with a couple of their players, Avisail Garcia being one of them, is rather surprising.
Yeah, he's been on fire, and yesterday a big home run for him to put them ahead in the 10th inning, and they won and completed their second series victory in a row. And, you know, here they are on this 9-game road trip, and they're starting one here in New York tonight, and they're 4-2 so far, having played the Indians and the Twins. And, I mean, Garcia has been a huge part of that. And I think you look at the leaderboards, and it's 11 games in, and you really can't put a ton of stock into 11 games, but at the same time, you can tell that he's in a very good place mentally, just trying to drive the ball up the middle in the right field and taking what pitchers are giving him and not doing too much. And he's laying off stuff that's been something he's gone after in the past, and I think that's really been a big key for him, is his patience and his approach.
Dan, it's a little bit more of an interesting year for the Chicago White Sox team. In the past few years, they've had such a depleted farm system. After the Chris Sale trade and the Adam Eaton trade, several top prospects in the minor leagues, it just seems at this point that a lot of the fans are keeping an eye on the major league club while also looking down to Charlotte as well. Is that kind of interesting for you as a beat writer to cover this team now that they have several top prospects, exciting top prospects?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me just tell you one. I've been getting yelled at a lot less on Twitter when they lose. So, I mean, that alone is great. it is an interesting dynamic. I mean, just even my own beat writer coverage, we're leaving here on Thursday, and the team's going back home, and and I'm going to head to Delaware for one day to catch up with their single-A Winston-Salem team. Then I'm going to fly to Charlotte and drive over to Tennessee on Friday and catch up with their Birmingham double-A team for one day. And then I'm going to go to Charlotte, drive back to Charlotte on Saturday and Sunday and cover the triple-A team. I've never done anything like that before. And I mean, it just gives you an idea that the story is as much in the minor leagues this year as it is in the major leagues. And fans have been showing that they're very interested in this rebuild. And I mean, it's been a little interesting because they're 6-5 right now, and the major league team's playing well because nobody's really paying attention. They're pitching very well. They're not hitting very much at all. But at the same time, most people are very interested in the Michael Kopechs and Yoan Moncadas and Lucas Giolitos and Ronaldo Lopez's as much as they are in Jose Abreu right now. And it's a very big, dynamic shift here. And it's where this team's kind of needed to go for a while. Like you said, the farm system has been so thin in years, and now it's a little bit more flush, and they intend to keep adding on to it for the next year and a half or 2 years and build it up so that they aren't in that position again, similar to the way the Royals and Astros have done in recent years.
And you're going to get to see another good player in Zach Collins when you go see Winston-Salem, their first-round draft pick, the catcher from last year, who's off to a really nice start. Dan Hayes from CSN Chicago joining us to talk a little White Sox baseball. Now, we talked about the players that have been traded. They've still got some intriguing guys that they could deal if it gets to the point where they're out of things later on in the season. First and foremost, you've already talked about him, Jose Quintana, and I understand he took a lot of questions from the New York media today.
Yeah, it was about a 10-minute session, and every which way, how was his time with the Yankees? Was he disappointed when it ended? Was he excited that Yankee fans want him to come here? How everything possible. Stuff he's addressed all the way, and Quintana he's talked about it to the extent he will. He just answers the questions, and it's not like there's anything new as far as light being shed on it, but even afterwards, he walked past the beat writers that are here and the traveling beat writers and was a little, not flustered, but just, it was a long session, and he dropped an "oh baby" on us afterwards, just with a little smile on his face. He's used to it, but at the same time, I'm sure he'd love to not be answering these questions, would love to stick around with the White Sox if he could. It wouldn't surprise me if the Yankees were high on his list of teams that he potentially could go to. I mean, I don't know who wouldn't want to pitch at Yankee Stadium and play for this team. Obviously, it's a team that he came up in the minor league system with before he was waived. But at the same time, he like you said, one of many intriguing pieces. And the White Sox, you know we're going to be bombarded by national media all year because they have David Robertson, they have Nate Jones, they have Todd Frazier, Jose Abreu. All these guys that Rick Hahn likes to talk about when other GMs look at rosters, they're like vultures circling, looking for the dead carcass in June. He expects that teams will be looking at them a lot because they just have a good roster still.
What do you think the realistic return for Quintana would be if a deal goes down? Let's just say later on in the season, about the midway point, right around the trade deadline, they're ready to move Quintana. A contender needs to fill a hole in the rotation. What type of package do you think he would bring back?
I mean, I think the minimum that they would want would be something like what they got for Adam Eaton, and that was Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez and Dane Dunning. And Giolito and Lopez both are top 30 prospects in the majors, and Dane Dunning was a first-rounder who they had high on the board themselves. They really liked him. Pitcher out of Florida, and basically when you look at that trade, I mean, they're ecstatic with what they got back, and I think that with Quintana, if it's July, he's got 3.5 years of control, and it's somewhere at that point under $33 million. If it's at the end of the season, then it's 3 years, and he's still probably the best pitcher out there. So they have a high price they're asking for, and if they don't have it met, they're not going to move him. I think that he's a guy that potentially, if they could see this swinging back the other way and they're thinking they could compete by 2019, maybe hang on to him just because, if they can't get what they deem is worth it for him, they don't want to give up on him and potentially could keep him for the turning it around kind of phase, whenever that is.
Which one of the position players that a lot of people are talking about is more likely to be traded before the trade deadline, Jose Abreu or Todd Frazier?
I mean, right now, I think that people expect that Frazier would be the guy because he's a free agent, but neither one has performed well to start the season. You know, Frazier's been sick for about 5-6 days now since he started Cleveland with the flu, and he's out yet again today. You know, Abreu, he's got 3 years left or 2+ years left, and so he's intriguing, but I think he'd need to get hot because I think there's still questions about him from last year, the way that he started. Those first 4 months were pretty miserable. You know, I think that probably a lot of the stuff that happened there was off-the-field stuff. You know, he had to recently testify in the trial of his former agent and somebody that was in his wedding party in that the smuggling case from Cuba. And, you know, beyond that, he hadn't seen his son. There were a whole lot of things going on with him last year. He really turned it on from about August 5th on the rest of the way. But I think people still have some questions about that. And when he came out and he's been as slow as he is, I don't think that does anything to resolve any of those worries that other teams have. So Frazier's most likely to me just because he's a free agent. But what his value will be is going to be determined by how good he can be.
Dan Hayes, CSN Chicago, joining us for just a few more minutes here on the program. What's your best guess as far as a timeline for seeing Yoan Moncada on the south side?
I think that we won't see any of those prospects before July at the earliest. You know, potentially if somebody came up to replace a starting pitcher getting traded, you could see somebody then. But you look at Ronaldo Lopez and Giolito, both of them accrued some service time, as did Yoan Moncada last year. Normally, you know, I think we're right now on the 3-year or 2-year anniversary of Chris Bryant's debut. Well, the Cubs kept him out those first, like, 16 games to get the 7th year of time. But I think with the White Sox, they might even go as far as not just looking for that 7th year of control, but also to have the ability to not have these guys reach Super 2 status early. And I think Tim Anderson came up last year around June 9th or June 10th, and that was where the White Sox determined he would not become a Super 2 and become arbitration eligible early. And so maybe add a month on to even longer for, you know, Giolito, Lopez, Moncada. So somewhere around mid-July, maybe after the All-Star break, would be the earliest I would see them coming out.
Dan, one of the names that's popped up on my radar from some of my White Sox fan friends is Luis Robert, who is a 19-year-old Cuban prospect who defected back in November. And there seems to be a little bit of an interesting timing issue here, depending on whether he is cleared to sign before June 15th or after June 15th. My question is, would the White Sox rather him be cleared to sign before or after June 15th, and will they be in on him regardless?
I think they will be in on him regardless. I think everybody in baseball would love it if he was a July 2nd guy because his price tag would come down about 20 to 30 million, whatever. Who knows how high it will get for him? But this is a kid that's more polished because he's more projectable at age 18. And, you know what he is already at this point. A lot of the problem when you're guessing on these guys at 15 and 16 is you have to try and project to what their growth pattern could be those next 2 years. And with Robert, we already know he's 6'3", and he's tall and muscular, but yet he's not a he's still a quick guy. You look at him as an 18-year-old, you might have a better sense of what he could be as a 22, 23-year-old when he made the majors. And so at that, knowing that, I think that makes his price go up considerably. And I do think the White Sox will be a player if he's a June 15th guy or if he's a July 2nd guy. I think they see him as another big piece they could add to their farm system. They really want to accumulate as much mass. They need to add as many hitters as possible. Right now, out of those trades, they've only added Yoan Moncada and Luis Basabe, who they're very high on both of those guys, but they need more position players. And they did a good job getting Alex Call and Jameson Fisher and Zach Collins in the draft, but you need to load up on both sides. And so I think that they would love to get Luis Robert. We'll see when he is made available. Baseball has to do the clearing, and the White Sox are in good position either way, I think.
Derek Holland on the mound tonight for the White Sox as they do open that series against the Yankees. Dan Hayes, CSN Chicago. Enjoy that minor league road trip. Can't wait to read and see the coverage.
You know what, guys? I'm losing you a little bit, but I appreciate the time.
Well, that was perfect timing there. Dan didn't get a chance to hear me say thank you for coming on.
Well, he gracefully ended it.
He did gracefully end the segment, and I'm rather envious. He said he's going to go to Delaware, so my assumption would be he's going to get to see Winston-Salem take on Wilmington, because I know they have a Kansas City Royals affiliate there, and I think they're the only minor league team in Delaware. And then his travels will take him to the Southern League to see Birmingham. And he said he was going to squeeze in a trip to Charlotte to see the AAA Knights as well. So
Yoan Moncada and Ronaldo Lopez are both up in Charlotte. That's correct.
Yep. And Michael Kopech, who gets compared to Noah Syndergaard, is in AA. He came over in the Chris Sale deal.
Why? Because he's tall and throws 100 miles an hour and has blonde hair?
I don't know how tall he is, but he throws 100 miles an hour.
Okay.
And is a very intriguing arm. And then, as we mentioned, Zach Collins, the catcher they drafted in the first round last year, is in high A with Winston-Salem. So interesting to see these guys come up through the system. They're not all going to hit, and by hit I mean become superstars. But if you follow what the Cubs have done on the north side of Chicago, you get guys to come up and be a contributor like Albert Almora. Almora was a first-round draft pick. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but he looks pretty good when you put him out there. Now, trying to replicate what the Cubs have done, I think, is going to be a little bit of a fool's errand here, because they have really hit on guys like Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber, at least from early appearances. And Javier Baez, even, you can throw him in there for all the struggles at the plate on the offensive side of things. He's tremendous defensively, and when he gets it going at the plate, and when he's hitting, he hits one of those hot streaks, then he's just about as good as anybody that they can trot out there. But their rebuild has been tremendous, and the White Sox now are trying to do something very similar. And as you heard Dan say, that losing isn't necessarily a bad thing at this point, because when you do that rebuild, and the Cubs have talked about it, look, they're going to be picking, they think, near the bottom of the draft for the foreseeable future, and that makes things a little bit more difficult as far as putting talent into your system that's going to replenish. You know, Ian Happ is another guy who's off to a tremendous start for the AAA I-Cubs, who lost to Round Rock today 10-9 and got it in under the wire because that game was played under a curfew. It's a travel day for both teams. They were not going to start an inning at Principal Park today after 3:30 because the teams both had to get to the airport in Des Moines to get to where they were going for their next game. They barely got that ninth inning started in time. Round Rock winds up winning 10-9. No homer, by the way, today for Ian Happ. 9 minutes in front of the hour of 5 o'clock. More baseball talk yet to come, and I have a feeling when we come back, I'm going to have some good news for Alex Kuhn if he hasn't already seen it yet. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and producer Jeff Downing on the way after this.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at austeds.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some sets.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh! So what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Just shy of starting hour number three. We can't do that until we close out hour number two. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Former Iowa Deputy Athletic Director Gene Taylor officially introduced as the new AD at Kansas State this morning. Taylor called KSU a great institution with a proud athletic tradition. He said he's most interested in getting to know another former University of Iowa employee. That would be K-State football coach Bill Snyder. Former Iowa baseball player Matt Dermody is back in the big leagues with the Toronto Blue Jays. The left-hander was recalled from AAA Buffalo on Sunday when the Jays placed starting pitcher Aaron Sanchez on the 10-day DL. Dermody, though, got roughed up yesterday in his season debut. He gave up 5 runs in just 1/3 of an inning of work as Toronto lost to Baltimore 11-4. The Iowa baseball team took 2 of 3 from Nebraska during its weekend series in Lincoln, but the Huskers prevented a sweep with an 8-6 win yesterday. The Hawkeyes had the lead with 2 runs in the top of the 8th inning, but Nebraska answered with 3 runs in the bottom half, and then Luis Alvarado closed the door in the 9th inning for the save. Iowa will travel to Peoria Wednesday to face Bradley. Speaking of Peoria, that's where the Cedar Rapids Colonels are tonight. They open a 3-game series against the Chiefs. First pitch at Dozier Park set for 6:30. The entire Midwest League was off on Sunday for the Easter holiday. Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Matt Garza making a rehab appearance for Wisconsin tonight as they take on the Clinton Lumber Kings. Here's a little bit of baseball news for you, Alex, and we're going to be talking about the Cubs and the Cardinals, the subject or subjects of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com as far as what was more surprising over the weekend. Cubs and Cardinals both got swept. Those are options, along with the Bulls beating the Celtics and the Blackhawks falling behind the Predators 0-2. Emil's Hideaway sponsoring the poll question. Make sure you check them out on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Tell Jamie behind the bar that Todd from KGYM sent you. And if she doesn't kick you out, she will make you a kick-ass drink. Are you ready for this, Alex? St. Louis Cardinals have all but ended the Matt Adams in the outfield experiment. John Mozeliak, the general manager of the Cardinals, said today that Matt Adams will focus on playing first base.
Thank
moving forward. Now,
goodness.
It doesn't mean that they won't stick him out there occasionally. It sounds as if his days of being a starting outfielder, a key member of the outfield, are over. And by key, I do mean Keystone Cops, because it was bad.
It was horrible. And we'll get into this in a second with the 3-9 St. Louis Cardinals. Is it too early to panic? Because I have some thoughts on that. But they wanted to get better defensively, and having Matt Adams in left field is not exactly a good recipe for getting better defensively.
Cubs-Cardinals talk on the way after the top of the hour. We'll also swing back to that poll question, because it was an interesting weekend with the Bulls beating the Celtics in Game 1 of their NBA playoff series and the Blackhawks falling behind Nashville 2-0. Game 3 tonight at Bridgestone Arena as the series shifts to Nashville. And if you weren't at the Cedar Rapids Colonels game on Saturday during the first of what turned out to be 2 rain delays, you missed a heck of a show. And speaking of missing a heck of a show or a heck of a good time, we want you to join us this Saturday at the Doubletree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids. It's going to be the final Schulte and Swan prom, at least under that name, as our good friend Rick Swan has left the morning show at Z102.9. Tickets are available all across Cedar Rapids, including downtown at the Theater Cedar Rapids box office, $20 cash only, but they get you some hors d'oeuvres. There's cake. And, of course, you can't put a price on having a good time with our friends from Z102.9. More details available at KZIA.com. A little bit of baseball talk and more on the way in hour number 3 as we settle in for the final hour of the program tonight.
Look around. Spring is everywhere. Now it can also be anywhere with 10-inch fern hanging baskets from the Home Depot, a special buy at just $9.88. Ferns add a fresh touch of spring wherever they go, and they go anywhere. Inside by the bookcase, outside on the porch, from the study to the staircase.